Hi, Jay.
How are you, sir? How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing very good. And yourself?
I am good. Glad to be back with our next episode, with our next interview.
That's right. And we have Michael Snyder here today, and he's the author of 4 books and numerous articles, and he's been a frequent guest on major radio and television shows all over the nation. And his websites have been viewed more than 100 million times. Now, I personally have been following Michael for many years through his website, theeconomiccollapseblog.com. Now, Michael has his latest book out, and the title is Lost Prophecies of the Future of America. And that came out in the summer of 2020. Jay, are you looking forward to this episode?
I am absolutely looking forward to it. And again, I have to credit you with introducing me to Michael. His work is very interesting, and definitely looking forward to having this conversation.
Cool. Hi, Michael. Welcome to this episode of J3 Unscripted.
Well, thank you guys for having me on today. I very much appreciate it.
So lately, the COVID lockdowns have caused many negative economic implications worldwide. But with that, it also brought isolation and loneliness and have led to tremendous increase in many social ills such as depression, domestic violence, divorce, and drug abuse. If you think that this is as bad as it can get, you have not read Michael Snyder's book, Lost Prophecies of the Future of America.
That is true.
Michael, I have always enjoyed reading your articles in the Economic Collapse blog. The general topic is socioeconomics, which is one of my favorites. There are always interesting facts, witty remarks, logical arguments. Then comes out Lost Prophecies of the Future of America. It's a fascinating 180-degree turn. The premise of your book is that when many people wake up with the same dream, this cannot be a coincidence. This has to be a message. Now, in our culture, dreams are not recognized as events. They're not facts. This book is so different. So, Michael, how did this book come about?
Well, it's something that I've been researching for many, many years. And in the book, I detail, and throughout human history, people have had supernatural experiences where God has shown them, given them glimpses into the future and has spoken to them through dreams, through visions, through visitations, through, you know, angels coming and delivering a message. And there's a multitude of ways that it happens. But all throughout human history, there really has been people who have had supernatural experiences where they've been shown the future by God and the things come to pass. And it's the same thing in our time. In fact, in the book, I have hundreds of examples. In fact, in each chapter, you'll come to a particular chapter, and there'll be dozens of people that have all been shown the same thing, whether it's a natural disaster, economic collapse, war, civil unrest, whatever it be. You know, the people are separated by time, by geography, by different religious tradition, but they've all been shown the same thing. That's because they're all getting it from the same source. Now, in my book, I've got prophecies from the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, every decade up to today is represented in the book, and where God has given people glimpses into the future of what's going to come to pass in this country. And in fact, some of them have already come to pass, and some of them, since I first published the book, they hadn't come to pass. Now that they have, we've entered this time, this period of time, I like to describe it as the perfect storm, where it's just not economic problems that we're going to be experiencing, and we have been experiencing, but also we're going to see great political shaking. People talked about, and of course, we saw that around the election and after the election. It's going to be great geophysical shaking with the seismic activity all over the planet. In fact, the first 65 days of this year, we've had more major earthquakes around the globe than in the first 65 days of any other year in all of your recorded history. So we're seeing that start to accelerate as well. We're going to see many other natural disasters, as I talk about in the book, along the New Madrid fault line, on the West Coast, on the East Coast even. And so that's a big part of the book. But then beyond that, we're going to see so many other things happen with civil unrest. And in fact, the 2020, we saw great protests and rioting all over the United States, and we're seeing it all over the world as well. We're going to be seeing famine. In fact, the head of the UN World Food Program has just come out recently and said, hey, we're going to be seeing famines of biblical proportions. That's his term, not mine, here in 2021. And so all these elements, so many of the things I wrote about in the book, the perfect storm really began in 2020. But I believe it's going to accelerate. We're going to see the fulfillment of so many more of these things in 2021 and beyond.
Wow, it's fascinating. I actually have a question for you, Michael. So we can see around us current events that sort of mirror biblical prophecies of the end times. But there have been other periods in history that have also had events that come close. So what is it about today's events that lead you to believe that we're near that, the end times, if that's at all a belief?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a great question. And I do believe that we are in the period of time known as the end times in the Bible. And of course, as you pointed out, all throughout human history, there have been bad things have happened. You know, we've seen pandemics before. For example, you know, the bubonic plague in the Middle Ages. We saw the Spanish flu pandemic about a century ago. So there have been pandemics before. You know, there have been wars before. There have been famines before. But we're entering a time when we're really seeing all these things happen simultaneously. And you know, from studying Bible prophecy since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, since I was just a little tyke, you know, really what kind of kicked it off in terms of letting us really know that we were in the end times, because the end times couldn't happen until Israel was back in their homeland. And that happened 1948. And then Israel had to be back in control of Jerusalem, and that didn't happen until 1967. So it's really been within the last few decades, within our lifetimes, really, that the stage has been set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled and the end times to be upon us. And then, of course, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus warned of wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, and so many, you know, earthquakes in diverse places, and so many of the signs that were going to be watching for. But then in more recent times, God has given prophetic voices, people with prophetic gifts, more specific details of so many of those things that I talk about in the book. And now we're starting to see these things come to pass. So, you know, I believe that we're in that time, and we're in that time that God has warned about, and many people have been waiting for a long time. But I believe that we're really at the doorstep. And in fact, so many of these things have started to take place.
Michael, these dreams described in the Lost Prophecies of the Future of America, they're so vivid, they're so detailed that there's no interpretation required. And it is obvious what the message is as well. In your book, you describe shocking, scary events that America is to go through in the future. The book has both several warnings and then a faith-based hope, which is great. But for those who don't share your religious faith, can there also be a secular argument that would create hope for people of any religious faith or of no religious faith? For example, throughout history, people have survived many devastating natural disasters, wars, and diseases, and we will survive what is to come as well.
Well, yeah, for people without religious faith, I've always encouraged people to get prepared, because difficult times were coming. And then we saw that with COVID in 2020, where all of a sudden, you know, You know, we had more than 70 million Americans file claims for unemployment benefits last year, worst year in American history by a very wide margin. In fact, the old record for a single week was 695,000 set in the early 1980s for a single week for new unemployment claims. Well, then the pandemic came in, and that record lasted all the way up to 2020. We get to 2020, and all of a sudden the pandemic starts to spread, and we shattered that record, and we've been above that old record of 695,000 every single week of the whole pandemic so far. It's almost been an entire year now where we've been up above 695,000 every single week for basically a full year. So it's unlike anything we've ever seen before. But for people without religious faith, yeah, they can get prepared. They can get food and water and supplies, and they can, you know, relocate to somewhere safe and try to survive the difficult times ahead. But ultimately, I don't know how anybody that doesn't know Jesus is going to make it through what's ahead, because ultimately this we're reaching the crescendo of human history, the culmination of everything that human history has been building up to, which is ultimately the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if someone says, I don't want Jesus, I reject Jesus, well, that's the great hope at the end of the story, that Jesus ultimately comes back and sets everything right and sets up his kingdom, and those that believe in him get to participate in that. And then if someone says, well, I don't want Jesus, I reject Jesus, well, that there isn't that hope there for them. There isn't that end of the story. So to me, I don't know how people without Jesus are going to have hope, because ultimately without faith, without Jesus, what do people live for? They live for their 401ks, they live for their careers, their plans, their programs, the wealth they built up, the home, their careers, their ambitions, everything that they thought their life was going to be about. Well, we're moving into times, and it's already started to happen, where it's going to be stripped away. All of a sudden, plans and programs and ambitions and finances and things and jobs and money are going to be stripped away. And we've seen that, as you alluded to earlier, in this pandemic, we've seen suicide rates skyrocket. And even before the pandemic, the suicide rate in the United States was at an all-time record high. Even before the pandemic, the youth suicide rate for young people had soared by 50% over the course of approximately a decade. You know, even before this, you know, deaths of despair from alcohol, from drug overdoses, both legal and illegal drugs, were at an all-time record high in the United States. And I've written articles about that previously. But then now with this pandemic coming along, more people are turning to alcohol and drugs and things just to soothe their pain, to get them through this, because it's been incredibly difficult emotionally for people to go through this pandemic. And what people need to understand is, this is just the beginning. You know, as I detail in my book, COVID has come. In fact, John Paul Jackson was one who saw there would be a pandemic. It would come, but it would be mostly fear, which is what COVID has been. COVID is a real pandemic. We've had 500,000 people die in the United States, but it's been mostly fear, which has paralyzed the global economy, shut people in their homes. But people need to realize, as far as pandemics go, this is relatively minor. And John Paul Jackson saw, and others that I detail in my book, that after the first pandemic, another far more serious one would come. So that's going to come after this. So if COVID has paralyzed our society to this extent, what is going to happen when a much more serious pandemic comes along?
Yes, and as we are talking, the virus keeps mutating. Even though we start taking the vaccine, and we want to reach that herd immunity, but if the virus mutates and is resistant to the vaccine, then what you're saying is, you know, something. Hopefully, it doesn't happen, but you know, it's a possibility.
Yeah, well, we hope that so many of these things can be put off for as long as possible. But COVID is mutating. We have the strain of the super COVID in the UK. We had the strain in South Africa, the strain in Brazil, which appears to be the most dangerous of all, highly resistant to the vaccines which are out there right now, which, you know, if some of these other strains become dominant, could make the vaccines, fairly useless, which is a huge concern. But then beyond that, and the Bible says there will be pestilences in the last days. And so we shouldn't be surprised if more pandemics come along. But it's just not future pandemics we're going to be dealing with. There's going to be more. You know, we've seen civil unrest already in the United States, but there's going to be a lot more. We're going to see great natural disasters. We're going to see volcanoes in the West Coast erupt. We're going to see a great tsunami on the West Coast and a great tsunami on the East Coast. We're going to see the San Andreas Fault, the great earthquake along the San Andreas Fault, cause the ground to sink in Southern California by several feet. And that's going to cause floodwaters, the ocean, to come in along vast portions of Southern California and literally change the geography of California. And that's just a few things that I cover in my the coming Great New Madrid earthquake, all these earth changes that are coming, war in the Middle East, ultimately leading up to World War III that the United States will be involved in, and so many other things coming, a series of events that are going to be catastrophic and apocalyptic. I mean, it really, people think of the end times in apocalyptic terms, and it really will be, and really beyond what most people would dare to imagine. And so that's the bad news. But then the good news is that, you know, that God knew about all this in advance. He's in control and he has a plan. And for those that know God, that he's going to use us in extraordinary ways during the darkest times in all of human history. And that it's when the times that are darkest that the greatest lights are needed. And so for those that know God and those that embrace his plan, it's a very exciting time to be alive. In fact, you know, sometimes people write to me and they say, "Oh, Michael, you must be so depressed. You must be so down," you know. But no, I'm not depressed at all. My wife and I, we're not on any pills at all. We're not down. We're not depressed. There's no other time in all of human history that I'd rather be living than right here and right now, because I consider this to be a very exciting time to be alive.
Now, you mentioned the different natural and civil, I guess, disasters, and your book is logically laid out in terms of describing these things. For example, you mentioned viruses, and so when I look at the table of contents, so chapter 1, and then of course prophets and prophecy, then you speak about economic collapse and famine, civil unrest, and so on. Was there a method to how this was constructed as far as your book was concerned?
Oh, definitely. And it was a real challenge, because when I first started approaching this project, there was such a mountain of information, and I had to distill it down. You know, it could have been, you know, 1,000 pages, but I wanted to fit it in a certain, but if you give someone a 1,000-page book, they're not going to read it. So I wanted it to be manageable. I wanted it to be readable. But I also wanted to organize the information in a format, in a way that made sense, that people could digest. And really the power of it is of this, because you hear, oh, okay, someone had a vision where they were shown that an earthquake is coming. Okay, great, you know, whatever. But when, for example, you go to the chapter 5 on the coming New Madrid earthquake, and the power of it is seeing that person after person after person after person, year after year after year after year, I was shown the same thing in supernatural experiences. So it's not just one or two or five people being shown by God that a certain thing is coming, but a very long laundry list of people all shown the same thing, shown similar details, and, you know, in different experiences, sometimes they're shown different details, but all fits together like a puzzle. But so many things correlate and line up. And then when you have 15 or 20 or 25 people all seeing the same thing, being shown the same thing by God over the course of many years in these supernatural experiences, it's very powerful because people can easily dismiss one or two people. Oh, it's just a coincidence, or they just had, you know, whatever, or it's just one person. But then when you got 20 people, well, that's harder to dismiss.
How should we address the people who are having these, and what should we describe them as? Visions? How should we describe what's happening?
Yeah, well, there's a variety of supernatural experiences and people. And, you know, a lot of times, the interesting thing about prophets, sometimes there's just like throughout all of human history, there's true prophets and false prophets. And a lot of times it's the false prophets that aren't actually even having supernatural experiences with God, but they just want to go around and they want to issue these grand proclamations and whatever. And they like to put the title of prophet on themselves. And that, you know, and that can often be a sign if they want to puff themselves up that they're not the real thing. But they're just like throughout all of human history, there's false prophets and there's true prophets. And a lot of times true prophets don't even like to take titles. You know, they want to be humble and they want the focus to be on God. So, but, you know, I think using the title prophets is appropriate because there are real prophets out there today who do really have supernatural experiences with God. Now, in terms of the experiences themselves, they can be varied. You know, sometimes, I mean, there are people and there are instances in the book where people literally are taken up to heaven and they have an experience in heaven where they actually encounter the Lord Jesus Christ and their things are revealed to them. Other cases, messengers come to earth, whether it's an angel or sometimes Jesus, there's a visitation with Jesus and people are awake and listening with your ears, just like you're listening to me now, or seeing things with their eyes, like you know, we would watch, like just looking at a person while we're talking to them. In other cases, people have supernatural visions where, you know, they're awake for these, but things will unroll like a scroll, and like a movie scene will play out in front of them. Sometimes people are taken into the movie scene, and they're allowed to experience things that happen in the future, you know, as if they were part of a movie. But in other cases, there are people who have supernatural dreams, which we've already touched on, and we see this in the Bible all the time. In fact, the father of Jesus, Joseph, it says God spoke to him in a dream. In fact, in one section in the New Testament, the Bible there, it says Joseph was given a dream three times in quick succession. So why would God not use a vision or send an angel? Why did he speak to Joseph in a dream there? I mean, we don't have the answer to that question, but God uses dreams and supernatural dreams. And sometimes dreams are just dreams, but other times dreams do have a spiritual significance. And those dreams, for those that have them, and I've had them, they're very, very different in quality, and the colors are more vivid. And there's so many things that set them apart from normal dreams that people might have that are just pizza dreams or whatever. But people do have supernatural dreams, and then those things later come to pass. So there's a variety of supernatural experiences. They all don't just fall into one basket, and we don't want to put God in a box. People have them, and as I show in my book, all these a variety of supernatural experiences and a variety of prophetic voices, but they all line up in terms of what they've been shown.
Wow, that's amazing. So when we look at the individuals in the book, would you say that the prophets tend to have prophecies with events that happen in their respective countries? So, for example, if I am from the United States, my visions will, my prophecies will have more to do with events here, as opposed to, say, someplace around the world that I'm not familiar with.
It can happen that way, but it doesn't have to happen that way. In fact, I've got a prophet from India who has had many experiences where he's been shown things here in the United States. His name is Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj, where he was caught up to heaven, and he was another one of the ones that was shown that after this coronavirus pandemic, that another great pandemic is going to come. In fact, while he was in heaven, he was specifically told that, quote, it will make this coronavirus look like child's play. So that's an example of a prophet from India. I also have an example in my book of a prophecy from the Middle Ages of a German prophetic voice back in the Middle Ages that was shown, which so many other people more recently have been shown, that a great asteroid will come and hit the Atlantic Ocean and cause massive tsunamis, which will not only hit the east coast of the United States, but all the countries that border the Atlantic Ocean. But she was this prophetic voice in Germany was shown this before the United States was even existed, was shown this. So, I mean, it's not just in recent times or recent decades that this phenomenon has been happening. So it doesn't have to be that if you're in a particular location, you're shown about that. Now, sometimes in terms of a lot of things, for example, sometimes I'll be shown something that just applies to me or my family. And so I don't release that to the public or whatever. But that's how most prophecy works. Most prophetic dreams and visions are not for nations as a whole or big apocalyptic events, but they're for specifically for you or your family or your community or whatever it is. So people need to understand that.
Michael?
Yes.
So that was the episode. I want to thank you for being here with us today. It was a great experience talking to you about your book. And maybe in the future we can talk about other things because you have a lot to say on a lot of topics. You know, I hope we can get together again.
Yes, I definitely appreciate having this discussion, especially since I'm new to your work. And you definitely gave our audience an education in terms of the people who make these prophecies, as well as the significance, the global significance of these prophecies. So I appreciate that, and I thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. And I know for many in the audience, these things may sound strange because people may not be familiar with them, but I would encourage people to go get the book. I mean, you can get it on Amazon.com. It's almost also on Walmart.com. Lost Prophecies of the Future of America is the title of the book. Or if you just go to any of the websites, if people want to find all my work, they can go to themostimportantnews.com. You can find all my articles along with other news of the day. And you can find ads for the book there. But if you get the book and read it, look it over, and you may not be convinced initially, consider what it has to say and then say, okay, we're going to see if these things come to pass. And actually some things in the book have already started to come to pass with the food lines and the civil unrest and the economics and so on, but put it up on a shelf. Maybe you're not convinced right away, but say, okay, we're going to wait and we're going to see as these things start to come to pass. And then, down the road, then people say, well, because one of the big points of the book is there really is a God. He really is the same God that he was in the Bible. He really does tell us the end from the beginning. And he's the same God today that he always has been. And he's still working in our time. And so that's ultimately what I hope that many people get from the book.
Michael, we wish you a lot of success in your future writings. And we're looking forward to your new books and articles.
Thank you, my friends. Thank you for having me on. And may you all be greatly blessed as you continue to do this program.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.